It's time for Drive-By Marriage with Rick Thomas and Todd Friel.
Hey, did you hear the story about the 13-year-old girl who had been divorced 5 times? Welcome to Lecture 33 of Drive-By Marriage, the bonus material, if you will. If you are not married yet, maybe you're a teen, maybe you're a young adult, you have not been married yet, would like to share some thoughts with you about dating, decision-making, premarital sex, and ultimately the gospel. Rick, tell the story about the 13-year-old who's been divorced 5 times.
Yeah, that's actually a true story, Todd. And I said it that way, but it was, we have to put that within context because it sounds sort of harsh. I was counseling this girl. She was 13 years old. We met several times at the request of her parents. Her parents were involved in the counseling situation as well. And as we were talking, she began to tell me about her relationships. Todd, you might not believe this, but she started dating when she was 8 years old. And in that course of those 5 years, she had 5 different boyfriends. And because our relationship was getting comfortable enough to where we can talk in a more casual way, I asked her, why have you been divorced 5 times? And, of course, she looked at me like, huh? You're out of your mind. And it gave me a context and a platform to explain to her what she did not understand what she was doing. And what she said was basically is that I would date this guy, we'd date for a while, and then he would become this way or that way, and then I would break up with him and go find another guy. Well, I began to talk to her about how marriage and divorce happens, and to be honest with you, Todd, that's generally how it goes down. I get tired of the guy, I get tired of the gal, and I decide to get a divorce. And what they call that in our culture is you go to court, they put it in this big basket called irreconcilable differences. Well, as I was explaining to her, there's really no difference except for a paper that you sign in this process that she's doing. And what will stop you when you're married from doing the thing that you have been doing repeatedly as a teenager? And so though she was not technically divorcing these guys, when she got tired of them, she was breaking up with them, and that is a pattern that she was putting in place that's not a good way.
And the reason that we wanted to share that story is because we want to talk about dating. Now, this is not going to be a promotion of courting, or
right.
We're not going to discuss
right.
that, but we want to share with you the pitfalls of dating. And one of the pitfalls of dating is it sets a pattern for the rest of your days. Because in dating, come on, you dump the girl, you dump the guy, dear John, and it's all done. And you can start to establish patterns in your life that later you will find difficult to break when you get married and there is so much more at stake. Furthermore, Rick, there's an emotional scarring that happens along the way. Those things hurt.
Yes, they do hurt because you set yourself up for failure, because the truth is you cannot be married. That's not how it happens in our culture, where you're getting married at 8 or 9 or 10 or 13 years old. It just doesn't happen. So you have to ask the question, is what is the point? What am I setting myself up for? Those relationships do not generally, rarely go the distance, and so there's going to be breakup. And these kids are not emotionally or mentally in their thinking ready enough to process what is going on.
Yeah, you're going to get hurt. If you date, you are going to get hurt. Might we suggest, and again, this is not we're not promoting a principle of courting or what have you, but to set yourself up for heartache, I think is a fool's errand. If you are looking to get married, you're at the age where you can get married. You have the means to support a spouse, and you are emotionally prepared, and you're spiritually ready. Then perhaps whatever you want to call that, courting or dating, it's moving toward marriage. It's not just, hey, let's have some fun for a while, because you're going to get your heart wrecked. And there's another thing that could happen along the way, too, and that is you could sin in a life-damaging way. The temptation to enter into a sexual relationship when you're just dating and not moving towards something serious and thoughtful like marriage is far too easy for you to have sex, and it will haunt you for the rest of your days.
Yeah, when the relationship goes past a year, once it moves into that length of time, the temptation gets greater and greater because the familiarity becomes greater and greater. We become more casual with each other. We become more familiar, and the temptation to sin is very much apparent. And we cannot think that, we should not think, it would be presumptuous to think that that would not happen to me. I mean, think of David. And that's the issue. When opportunity and temptation come together, then we set ourselves up for disaster. It's one thing to be tempted but not have opportunity. It's another issue to have opportunity but not be tempted. But when opportunity and temptation come together, and it can come together quickly in a long-term dating relationship of 15-year-old kids.
Yeah, now this is going to sound perhaps a little shocking, but God wants you to have sex. He really does. It is something that He created. It is very pleasurable. It is something you really can look forward to. But look forward to it and be godly until the day you enter into the marriage covenant and enjoy it like crazy. But until that day, don't break your heart. Don't get a disease. Don't the both of you, because there's a boy involved too, get pregnant. You will live with it for the rest of your days, guaranteed. Now, if you happen to have already had sex, we want to talk to you too and answer the question, can God forgive you?
Yes, sex before marriage is a sin. It is a heinous sin. It is a shame, but it's not the unpardonable sin. God's grace is greater than any sin that we can commit. This is not a license to sin, but then we also must understand that whatever our sins are, God can forgive us and cleanse us from that sin.
It is a wonderful gift that you can give to your spouse on your wedding night to say, guess what? I loved you before I even knew you. I prayed for you before I even met you. And now I've got an amazing gift to give to you, and that is my virginity, because I've been waiting for you. So strive for that, but also know this, if you have failed, that does not mean that you still cannot give a gift to your spouse on your wedding night. Your sin can be forgiven if you repent and trust Jesus, and then you can still say to your spouse, when I got saved, I dedicated myself to waiting for you, and you can still present that gift. So strive for that. If you've already failed, there is forgiveness in Jesus. And please remember this, there is no condemnation if you are in Jesus. You do not need to relive it, to regret it, and to mourn it. Yeah, you might shed some tears, but you have been forgiven. You might feel bad. God will heal that. But do not feel guilty. Here's a question for you. Do you know how to make a decision as to who you should get married to? I think I goofed up my pronouns and prepositions pretty bad there. How do you know who to marry? If you have been trying to figure this one out, we want to discuss with you for a moment a big and perhaps different perspective on decision making. Perhaps you've been told you need to throw out a fleece, or maybe you wait for a sign from God or an inkling or a movement or for Him to open up a door. Might we suggest to you there is an even better way of making a decision so that you can know that you are going to marry the right person?
Todd, here are a few quick tips that we can apply to this area of decision making. And it's very important when we're thinking about one of the game-changing decisions that we're going to make as far as getting married. The first thing that I would want to think about is and ask myself, am I teachable? Because here's the tendency, and this was the temptation with the young girl who had been married, quote unquote, five times, is that she was looking for relationships for the wrong reasons. And when I'm looking to be married, or any person looking to be married, they must be teachable, because there will be a temptation to say, my will be done, not your will, God. And so we want to make sure that we're moving into this decision-making process by saying, dear Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And if that is the attitude of your heart, then you are teachable, because humility is operating in your heart.
Another principle that we've talked about in the past, I use the word principle. Another idea that we've talked about in the past is being suspicious of yourself.
Yes.
We're broken, we're sinful, and you might have the wrong motives, and you might not know everything, and you might be approaching it from a sinful perspective. So remember, be suspicious of yourself, and you would do very well to engage counsel. to bring in elders, even your parents. I know, bring in your parents. They know you better than you do. Ask them for wisdom. Ask them for advice. Ask them what they think about your spouse. Ask them if they think it would be a good idea, and have a humble heart to actually receive that advice.
Here's two more, Todd, that I think are very important here. Guess what? How about if we pray about it?
Yeah.
Prayer is an assumption, but it needs to be said. I don't want people just to assume this, but we need to be praying to God and asking for His heart, not just His mind on the situation, but asking God to give you the right mind and the right heart as you approach this big decision that you're making. And then along with your praying, pray through the Scriptures, search the Bible, look for direct commands in Scripture and indirect commands. What does God say about marriage and your desires and what marriage looks like? And I think, Todd, if you bring in the counsel, you're searching Scriptures, you're praying often, there is a self-awareness. I am suspicious of myself and my motives, and I'm very teachable. Now, if you have a teenager or a young adult or even an older person who is getting married, these are great qualities to have, and I think that can help you in the decision-making process.
And then once you have done all of those things, guess what you get to do? And this can be really a fun part. Hey, what are your preferences?
That's right.
It's okay to have preferences. And by the way, this applies not just to marriage, but house buying, car buying, what college you might attend. Which one do you prefer? Okay, this is odd, but if you've got a choice between two girls, just work with me here. Okay, which one do you like more? Which one do you prefer more? That's okay. God lets you do that because if your motives are right, He allows preferences in decision making. And then when you make the decision to marry that girl and you ask Father's permission first, and then you receive her permission and you get her hand, that is God's will for your life. You have made the right decision. Even if it turns out to be a disaster, that was still the right decision because you made it. And that was God's will for your life. And you can rest in that if things go completely kafritz, because now you know, okay, God must want me to be in this, doing something. And chances are that thing is leading him or her in the gospel. Which is really the thought that we'd like to conclude with you. Start practicing the gospel now. Start developing these patterns in your life now. You can apply all of the, I don't know if you've been listening to all of these lectures or not, but all of these things really do apply to different relationships with your siblings, with your classmates. Start getting into the habit of having a gospel-centered life today. And then when you engage in marriage, no pun intended, it'll come much easier because you will have developed these patterns and you will simply be living in them, because these aren't principles. This is just a lifestyle, because you will be changed and conformed to be more and more like Jesus. Hey, and if you are listening to this, I got to tell you, you are an exception, because most people who are younger, they don't think about stuff like that. They just, who's hot? Who's the hottie body? That's what. So way to go. We applaud you for being mature and for striving to be biblical and for striving to live in the gospel.